Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The second special favor for the fasting people in the month of Ramadan is that the fish in the sea make istighfar for the one who fasts. The aim here is to explain that many beings offer prayer on his behalf. This point has been mentioned in many ahadith, and in some ahadith it is mentioned that the malaika make istighfar for them. Istighfar means to seek forgiveness. The author says that my uncle Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah used to say, it is very apparently so because Allah says in the Quran, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds, Allah shall make them beloved in this world. One hadith clarifies this. When Allah loves a person, he says to Jibreel alayhi salam, I love this person, you also should love him. Jibreel alayhi salam then also loves that person and announces in the heavens that such a person is loved by Allah, you all should also love him. Thereupon all the dwellers of the heaven begin to love him. Then love for that person spreads on the earth. Normally, only those who are near to a person seem to love him. But here that love spreads all over. Even the animals in the jungle and the fish in the sea do the same. They all make dua for him. Third favor is bestowed on the fasting person is that Jannah becomes decorated for them. Now the hadith states that at the beginning of every year, the decoration and adornment of Jannah begins for the coming of Ramadan. And we know that when a well-known person is expected to arrive, great care is taken in preparation for the coming. At the time of marriage, for example, preparations commence in advance. Likewise, it is with Ramadan. And the fourth favor is that the rebellious, evil-sowing shayateen are chained, as a result of which the evil is diminished. One would expect that because of the great desire for ibadah in the blessed month of Ramadan, shaitan would try as hard to pull the faithful from their path so that much more evil would be committed. That is not the case. On the contrary, we see so much less evil. How many drunkards do we not see who just because of the blessed month of Ramadan do not drink? How many evildoers don't we see that they cast aside the evil just because of the blessed month of Ramadan? So committing sins during the month of Ramadan does not contradict the meaning of this hadith, because this hadith only mentions only the rebellious shayateen. So sometimes you find fellows still getting up to nonsense. Little shaitans are still around, busy operating. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا وأن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء إنك لأنت الحليم الرشيد. Today's Tarawih we read a lot of different stories of the different Anbiya عليهم الصلاة والسلام, from Nuh عليه السلام and then Hud عليه السلام and then Shu'aib alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam. Inshallah, these stories will again come. But every time Allah subhanahu and Yusuf alayhi salam, obviously, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these stories, for example, in one surah, then there is a link and there is a message that is pertinent, and therefore that story is mentioned with reference to that message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give. Somewhere else you'll find the same story is repeated, or a part of it is repeated, and that is in a different context where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is driving home a different message. All these things only you will learn if you do the science of tafsir. And that is a highly specialized science. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala grants it to whomsoever you want. But one of the principles of tafsir is this, that you will come to know why different surahs are mentioned elsewhere. Nevertheless, Shu'aib alayhi salam story is mentioned here. But before we do that, we know that in our times, many times, when people are stuck in their evil ways or in their wrong ways, they just so stubbornly are steadfast on it and they don't want to leave it. And when you tell them something, then they have got their stock answer. They will tell you whatever they want to, that we are doing it for this reason. Our forefathers did it. This is how we always did it. And many times, this is the problem. Many times when you tell them, the Quran says like this, or Allah says like that, or the Hadith says like that, or Islam says, they say, no, bye. Just leave Islam out of it. And leave the Quran out of it. We don't know about that. In other words, many times, when they can't have any other explanation, and when they are told by, as a Muslim, you know what, you're not supposed to do it like this, the Quran says, they find such a pain and such a bitterness coming, they say, no, don't bring Islam. And this has happened many times. We find a lot of times people, they just silence you. They don't want to know anything with regard to how the Quran has said or what Islam says. Now, we must remember the beauty of Islam, and this is the beauty of the deen of Islam, that Allah Ta'ala has made it such that all our worldly activities, whatever we do, have been so beautifully woven into Islam. Whether it's our eating, sleeping, drinking, business, whatever it is, all those things have been given a Islamic flavor, or they are basically interspersed with Islamic teachings. So the reality of the situation is, as Muslims, we cannot divorce Islam from our worldly activities. Anything and everything, there will be an Islamic injunction, an Islamic basis to do something. And if somebody can't find it directly in the Quran, we'll find it on the basis of analogy, where you find that the fuqaha, the jurists, have said, okay, based on that masla in the Quran, we therefore can say this is the solution to this new problem that has come about. You know, the later issues that come up, the current problems and current matters that come about, you know, various things. So we find that, alhamdulillah, the ulama, the muftis, they look at it and they say, okay, based on that masla in the Quran, we are going to give the ruling here. So what we are saying is that we can't run away from Quranic teachings, and we need to regulate our life in this way. People who throw away the Quranic teaching and to stubbornly carry on their way, they have basically thrown the Quran in the back. They want to have nothing to the Quran. So let's come to Shuaib alayhi salam. Shuaib alayhi salam was a Nabi who grew up amongst his people as a very, very intelligent child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred nubuwwat on him. Now there's two things about him, amongst other things. One is Shuaib alayhi salam was a very, very eloquent speaker. He was known as Khatibul Anbiya. He used to speak, you know, among the Anbiya, his outstanding feature was this, that he used to speak very, very eloquently. He was a good bayan. He used to give good bayans. And the second thing with regard to him is that he used to read a lot of salah. He used to read a lot of namaz. Now, a lot of times people thought that the deen of Shuaib alayhi salam is only about reading salah. So they kind of equated his deen with salah, whatever the form of the salah was. Then apart from that, all the other teachings that he used to come and give the people, they used to get quite fed up with him. His people were involved in three major sins. One is they were involved in idol worship. They used to worship trees. That's why Ashabul Aika means the people of the tree. It is said they used to worship some kind of a tree there. The second thing they were involved in was big time cheating in business, big time chores. And the third thing they were involved in was highway robbery, hijacking, you know, pulling job with containers in this day and age. You know, yeah. So they were involved in those three things. So nevertheless, he used to tell them that, you know, when you are doing business, first you tell them, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stop worshipping all these other things. The people used to get very angry with him, especially the elders who were stuck in their ways. And the second thing he used to tell them was, you know what, don't cheat. He used to say, wala tanqus al-mikyal al-mizan. Don't cheat when you are measuring and when you are weighing. That was the method of selling things at that time. So whichever way people had their sophisticated methods of stealing and shortchanging the people, giving them less and charging them more, however it was. And la tabkhasun nasa ashya'ahum, and don't shortchange the people. And that was the second thing. They used to do a great amount of things, and used to tell them to stay away from him. Now the people got fed up with him. So they, and obviously used to tell them, stop ta'thaw fil ardi mufsidin, don't do all those highway robberies here. Don't steal from the people, don't hijack. It's wrong what you are spreading facade on the face of the earth. And obviously the facade that they were spreading, it must have been also very violent, of a very violent nature. I mean, to steal from somebody, to forcefully take away, there must have been violence also involved. So these people, they got so fed up with him, and they said, you know what, this, especially when it came to the idol worship, is the way of our forefathers. Why are you coming to stop us that? They say, your namaz, this namaz that you're reading, this namaz, they meant your deen, is it telling us that we must leave aside the ways of our forefathers? As-salatuka ta'muruka an natruka ma ya'budu aba'una. Your namaz, your deen, you come with this new religion here, tell us you must stop doing what our forefathers did. And this is some very difficult for a person to break away from the evil ways and the unsubstantiated, baseless ways of the forefathers. Is such a difficult thing. They are so sentimental about it. They think they maybe if they stop that bid'ah or shirk that they are doing, forefathers are going to get crossed in the grave. They just want to leave it. And sometimes they're just proud. But the fact of the matter is we have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to know that our actions and our ibadat is going to be the cause of our entry into Jannah. It's going to be the cause of us pleasing Allah ta'ala. And if we're going to do all other things and try and find all the different kinds of proof to justify what we're doing is correct, it's not going to get us anywhere. So we have to be very honest and sincere when it comes to ibadat. Ibadat is that what is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said to him, you want us to live the ways of our forefathers. And then the other thing they're saying, oh, naf'ala fi amwalina mal nasha. You telling us that we can't do what we want with our wealth. You know, we can do with our money. It's ours. We worked for it. It's our property. It's our possession. In this day and age, there's a thing called human rights, you know. As a human being, you have a right to do whatever you want to do. You can say what you want, you can spend where you want, you can, you know, there's freedom of expression when they talk about and they start hammering the deen and they start hammering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam and the Quran and so forth. They say it's our basic human right to have freedom of expression. We can say it's our right. And over and above that, then all other weird rights, when they come now, they want to have gay rights. Just yesterday's news was informing us that now the US Supreme Court has lifted the ban on gay marriages. That means these people's Qiyamah is very near now. Till now it was only in certain states, federal law was passed that they could do these things. Now they say the Supreme Court has lifted the ban on gay marriages in the USA. So they're just going down one way after the other. So what is happening is that it is our human right. We want to get married to a male, so let us be. That is our orientation. That is what we are like that. So leave us alone. And when anybody is told that, you know what, but Islam says like this, and the Quran says like that, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says like that, then that is where this thing comes in. You know what, just keep that out here. That is different, that you can't bring here. Now, how can you not bring that in there when your whole deen is based, and you call yourself a Muslim, it is all based on Islamic teachings. And nowadays you find even Muslims, they open a gay mosque. They use the whole deen to actually justify their thing. They didn't cut the deen out. They somehow worked their weird, crazy, corrupt ideas into the deen, and they tried to justify that these things are permissible. And they gave us so different story about the gay stories and about the time of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. So nevertheless, they used to taunt Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam. Say, innaka la antal halimur rashid. Halim means one who is very tolerant, and Rashid means one who is very, righteous. Rashid, righteous. So that is what you are. But they weren't saying it in that way. That you are. They used to like say you crazy. You know, like you are a big professor. But to Malisa Banina Awelocheya. That's what they were saying. You telling us, they used to use this, and they say this was the way among the Arabs. That when they want to sometimes taunt a person, then they won't run him down with the bad terms. They will say, you, very big professor, huh? You know everything. You're a scientist, you know everything. So they were using that kind of abuse on him. And then they also said to him, you know, if we had our way, we will actually give you a good hiding. But it is just out of fear of your tribe that we are actually just leaving you alone. So he says, that you people are afraid and you're giving more honor to my tribe than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not afraid of Allah ta'ala. You're not scared that what Allah ta'ala can do with you, but you are more worried what my family will do with you if you are going to beat me up. So they wanted to beat him up, but then they just said, you know, it is out of fear of your tribe. So he gave them a good jawab that you must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُ وَرَاءَكُمْ زَهْرِيَا. And you people have actually taken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have thrown him in your back. The azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come and it will envelope you. And finally we know that the final azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did come on them in the form of a very, very severe heat wave. And after that, there was this one shade that came about with a cloud, and they all ran out. They were so desperate for shade and for cool air that they went to go and stand there, a whole lot of them, under that shade, which was actually not a cloud, it was a cloud of fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just released the fire from there, and they were destroyed. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with that فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ السَّيْحَةَ, that they were overtaken by a terrifying scream. So one angel, just one angel, was deputed to destroy them with one scream. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.